call the board of council meeting from President Tom, if everyone was standing for the pledge.
The flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Remain standing for prayer.
Dear Lord, bless the decisions of this body, guide us tonight and in the future as well. Amen.
Vice President Brown.
Here.
President Chapman.
Here.
Mr. Clark.
Here.
Ms. Morris.
Here.
Ms. Rose.
Here.
Mr. Salters.
Here.
Mr. Sebring.
Here.
Mary Oakley.
Here. And adoption been joined in.
Mr. Mayor, I move to adopt the agenda.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilwoman Rose to adopt the agenda as presented.
Call for question.
Mr. Brown.
Yes.
Mr. Chapman.
Yes.
Mr. Clark.
Yes.
Ms. Morris.
Yes.
Ms. Rose.
Yes.
Mr. Salters.
Yes.
Mr. Sebring.
Yes.
And that was adopted by a vote of 7-0. Approval of minutes of the January 26th meeting.
I move to approve the minutes.
Second. Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilman Sebring to approve the January 26th minutes.
Call for question.
Mr. Brown.
Yes.
Mr. Chapman.
Yes.
Mr. Clark.
Yes.
Ms. Morris.
Yes.
Ms. Rose.
Yes.
Mr. Salters.
Yes.
Mr. Sebring.
Yes.
Minutes are approved by a vote of 7-0. Petitions, memorials, and monuments.
Mayor, I'd like to thank all the volunteers that produced an excellent Old Folks Bluegrass Jam this past weekend. Had over 300 people sign in, a lot more people that came who did not sign in. But a lot of people from quite a distance. We had one gentleman coming from Jordan for the event. So I think it's a good event. It's serving the community well. And I want to thank all the citizens. In addition, I would just note that today is the anniversary of the birth of William Henry Harrison, who had a great influence on this community as the first governor of the Indiana Territory and the founder of Vincennes University, among many other things. So we do renote that.
Okay. Anything else? Not going to move to committee chair reports.
Laura and I have been working on putting together kind of a good game plan for us to go have committee hearing about putting ads on some of her vehicles so she can generate some funds. We're hoping to have that finished this month, so we can have a committee meeting coming up in March to discuss it and see where we can go from there. So we're just kind of going back and forth, make sure we have everything laid out so we can present a good plan as we come forward with this.
And Laura, before we go.
Yeah.
Mr. Mayor, I'll save my comments for Ordinance 43 and Ordinance 44.
Any other reports? Now, the public city officers. And we're going to go business. First up is Ordinance 43-2014. And then the Ordinance Section 33.20, Riley on fire.
Let the record show that the Public Health and Safety Committee met after the last council meeting and voted unanimously to recommend the ordinance as amended for riding bicycles on sidewalks with the exception of the sidewalks between 2nd and 6th Street. And recommended that they be approved. Then I'll make that a motion.
You're making a motion to approve?
Motion
second
to
reading.
Second reading.
For a second?
I'll second it.
Motion by Councilman Sebring, second by Councilman Brown to have second reading of Ordinance 43-2014.
All for questions.
I gotta read it.
Oh, yeah, right.
Hang on, Mr. President.
Wow.
There,
there was an additional amendment. So the amendment, as suggested, is not the amendment that you have in front of you, but amended ordinance 43-2014. This is an ordinance of the Common Council of the City of Vincennes amending ordinance section 7120, riding on sidewalks, by deletion of certain aspects. And the interlineation suggested, I believe, is in the first paragraph, section 7320, riding on sidewalks. A, no person shall ride a bicycle upon a sidewalk within the central business district, parenthetically described as between 2nd Street and 10th Street on Main.
2nd and 6th.
2nd and 6th. All right. Thank you. That would have to be added to this if passed. The street designation. Before it just said central business district, which was nebulous.
Any discussion?
I don't have any problem adding that. Or you could carry it over to the next meeting and have it in written form and cleaned up.
It would be procedurally correct to have, since it hasn't changed, a new written form in front of us. Well, that is what the attorney is comfortable with.
We want to pass on second reading and have the amendment on third. Maybe you could do that. Certainly, amendment is subject to third reading.
That would be my recommendation.
All right. With that, I call for the question.
Mr. Brown.
Yes.
Mr. Chapman.
Yes.
Mr. Clark.
Yes.
Ms. Morris.
Yes.
Ms. Rose.
Yes.
Mr. Salter.
No.
Mr. Sebring.
Yes.
Okay, second reading of ordinance 43-2014 passes by a vote of 6-2-1. Next is ordinance 44-2014, amended ordinance section 50, trash.
Mayor, we met also after last meeting, and the committee recommended 3-0 that we not pass this ordinance.
Also, the Public Health and Safety Committee met after the last meeting with a unanimous recommendation to not pass this ordinance as well.
Motion to remove.
Motion to remove.
Yeah.
Second.
Motion by Councilman Sebring, second by Councilman Brown, to remove ordinance 44-2014.
Call the question.
Mr. Brown.
Yes.
Mr. Chapman.
Yes.
Mr. Clark.
Yes.
Ms. Morris.
Yes.
Ms. Rose.
Yes.
Mr. Salters.
Yes.
Mr. Sebring.
Yes.
And that is removed by a vote of 7-0. Next is ordinance 34-2014, Mayor's Salary Ordinance 4-2014.
Mr. Mayor, this is not really an action item. This is the first that ordinance was actually adopted last year, but again, as we stated at the last council meeting, due to an error in an ordinance that we're going to freeze salaries pending the Department of Local Government Finance review of our budget, there was an error in drafting that particular ordinance that has resulted in elected officials currently receiving a 3% raise, city employees not. As we said at the last meeting, and I'll add it to say again, once this issue is resolved on what will or will not be a level of raise for city employees, we will move then at that point, introduced a procedure by which the council can do, if they wish, payroll deduction, bring their salary level, whatever salary level is, to the floor. Unfortunately, state law is such that one council cannot go back and do that by law. So it would have to be voluntary as far as elected officials, but I'm sure that would be what elected officials would wish to do. So it's merely on here to restate that that is one of the recommendations. At the time that we decide on elected or general employee salaries, then we'll set up that procedure. Is that person clear?
So the easiest way to fix this is just a payroll deduction then?
Well, it would have to be because you.
Right.
City attorney can explain this better than I, but we can't go back and.
Right, I mean, he's explained this, what, three or four times to us now?
I never tire of it. The only, if there was a voluntary deduction set up, you just need to be cautious because you're going to be taxed on 100% of that raise. So if you were to give it all back in some donation, you're going to have less than you did, you would be less than you had because of the tax consequences. There's some net amount. And I think the raise is minuscule to begin with. I think most of you probably didn't notice it, so.
And again, I say that.
But the state law, the point is state law treats elected officials differently. And when I fixed that, the salary ordinance, it didn't even occur to me to fix the second ordinance. So that's, I will take that responsibility. And had I known that I was giving myself a raise, I messed up. I failed to give myself a raise.
We will figure out a way to correct it, but once again, that decision has not been made yet on the employee salary. And there's some recommendations from the mayor and the park head and what he's working through right now.
Any other discussion? Do you want to talk about the meeting Friday, the 1782?
Well, in meeting, in reference to the 1782, the Department of Local Government Finance review of our budget, cuts were indicated. In working through this with our financial consultants, it was determined that the best way to handle it is for us to deal with additional appropriations later in the year, trying to cover the shortfall, the money will be there to do that. However, in conjunction with that, simultaneous with that, the mayor and department heads are working through some suggested revisions in the budget, which will make it even more likely that we can be able to shortfall to an additional appropriation. So this was a recommendation of the financial consultants, and it has been something that we have done in the past with additional appropriations later in the year as we see what shortfall actually is. So, are there any questions? It's hard to answer that.
Any questions or comments?
Mayor, I have a question.
Yes.
For those of you that don't know me, I am Sonny Pinkstaff. I'm the Tank Chief for the Sims Fire Department. I've just got a simple question, and I've been given all different answers. Why did elected officials receive their raise, and why did the city employees not?
That's because the second ordinance
Well.
It was overlooked, it was never intended from the elected officials. Toward the end of the year, it was determined that we should have an additional ordinance after the salary ordinances were adopted to deal with the circumstance of if the Department of Local Government's finance came back and said we couldn't fund our entire budget, how do we deal with that? So we passed an ordinance that it was the instructions of council and mayor that we draft an ordinance to not begin giving raises until the Department of Local Government finance ruled on our budget. Okay, that was the intent. And it was, how should I define it? It was a drafting error, that's the way I defined it last time.
If something had been drafted in error, you could define it that way. There was never a draft. So the nine people that are responsible for doing those ordinances forgot to change the elected officials. It was an oversight.
Seven.
And the reason for that is there are two ordinances that passed.
There are two ordinances, correct.
We have a separate ordinance that deals with elected officials and another ordinance that deals with employees, is the way the state law has it set up. If it had been a combined ordinance, then everything would have turned out the way we want.
Seven up there and two down here, okay.
Second ordinance.
I'm counting that.
We thought we were, had that ordinance that was gonna include everyone.
That was a clear intent of both the mayor and the council.
I'm just saying, there's two ordinances. Nine people said, hey, where's the other ordinance? I've already fallen on my sword on that.
I just wanna speak on behalf of the firemen. Understand, whenever it comes to the raise, however much I know we put in for 3%, these guys, men and women of every department within the city, they have a family to raise. Okay? Thank you.
Thanks, man.
And we appreciate that, and then that's one of the reasons that we are taking a little time to try to work through the mayor and department heads to identify if there are some other cuts we can make that would not impact the raise. So it is, like, we hope to find that we're taking our time to get, try to get that piece in place.
We appreciate that, thank you.
As I said, it did hurt, but that could have been immune to give with raises.
Yep, thank you.
Okay, moving on to new business. Mark Thomas, can you move the item?
Good evening. My name's Mark Thomas, I'm the commander of the VFW Post 1157 here in Vincennes. I would like to thank the city and all surrounding businesses for supporting our veterans within our community. The support that is received gives the VFW the opportunity to give back to our community in the form of giving out scholarship programs to surrounding schools and to help further educate our children, creating leaders in the generations to come. We also provide other programs within our community that include Teacher of the Year Award, Firefighter of the Year Award, Policeman of the Year Award, and EMT of the Year Award. VFW takes great pride in presenting these programs to our community. It's an honor to us to recognize those that do a job that's well done within our community. Your support and donations also allow the VFW to donate to our local schools, volleyball teams, baseball teams, golf teams, and the ROTC program. The VFW also contributes to the 4th of July parade. Last year, we donated trophies, and we also donate money to the city fireworks. I just wanted to thank you all and the surrounding businesses for your support for making all this possible within our community. Without your support, we wouldn't be able to give back to the community like we did. We greatly appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate your service.
Next is Justin Mullins in person.
Peter Bomar is going to pass out some information for you. While he's doing that, I don't foresee you trying to elect officials not giving us a raise this year, but if you're continuing to look for somebody to give charity to, the Vincennes firefighters are 501(c)(3). You also have all this information in an email as well, but hard copy for you. Like I said, I'm Justin Long, president of Vincennes Firefighters Local 664. Last year, this council charged themselves and department heads with thinking outside the box for ideas of revenue and budget cutting. The Brotherhood of the Vincennes Firefighters have taken this charge seriously and have taken it seriously for several years now with ideas presented to past councils such as insurance billing and LOIT. But today we are here to inform and promote another idea that was presented and needs to be revisited, a fire department-based ambulance service. For some time now, we have been hearing of coming shortfalls, tax caps, and falling assessed valuations. With these issues came the inevitable talk of layoffs, lowering manpower, and delayed equipment purchases. Without a solution to these problems, the Vincennes Fire Department, and more specifically the Vincennes firefighters, are now feeling the repercussions of a problem not solved. Now we are dealing with the inability of the city to financially support lost staffing that once was at 43, and including the inability to fill a rated position of training captain that has been vacated now for some years. It is now time for the fire department and the city to look at revenue streams outside of just our tax base due to the falling assessed valuations. The implementation of a fire-based ambulance service is not just a whimsical request. This topic has been considered, debated, and thought over by firefighters for many years. As I will show you shortly, the revenue generated can and should be used to continue operations of the ambulance service and the fire department. The ambulance service's ability to subsidize the falling fire department budget comes at a crucial time when, as I have touched on, the manpower is falling and the general safety of firefighters is reaching a critical level. And the Vincennes firefighters want to confront this before it reaches to a point where the safety of the citizens are being compromised. In addition to revenue, having an ambulance service based out of the fire department gives the fire department direct control of standards. As it stands now, the city has no control whether or not the private providers hold themselves to a set of standards for the response of emergency calls, or how those private providers staff those ambulances making emergency runs on the citizens of Vincennes. With an ambulance running out of the fire department, we can set as high of a standard of performance as we want for the protection of our citizens. We will have the ability to provide care and protection of the citizens of Vincennes that we are proud of. We have been working closely with AccuMed Billing Services. They are the billing company that works with Terre Haute and Riley Fire. Both fire departments recommend them highly. Through a liaison with AccuMed, we have given them a detailed run volume, demographics that came directly from Good Samaritan Emergency Room, and various other details that have allowed them to put together a forecast of billing revenue. These numbers have been kept conservative for the purpose of this forecast. As stated before, AccuMed comes highly recommended by Terre Haute and Riley Fire, but those are just two of the 42 departments that they service throughout Indiana. Departments such as Fishers, Brownsburg, Noblesville, Hobart, and Hammond are some, just to list a few. But let's talk about the numbers. So in front of you, on the first page, there's three pages of statistics. The first page, and they're broken down by level of service. The first page, which is the title page, basically, and has all the information of the summary, is your advanced life support runs. The next page would be the basic life support runs, and the last page is the advanced life support runs level 2. That's your highest level of care. A lot of advanced procedures and a lot of technical knowledge need to be practiced and known for that. The payer mix, the first column is the payers. That is the people who pay the bills. Medicare, Medicaid, commercial, and self-pay. You can disregard the BC, BS, that's Blue Cross Blue Shield. The payer mix is the statistics that come directly from the emergency room. And they were able to narrow it down to all the ambulance admitted patients just from the city of Vincennes, so that number is very accurate. And then next, the next column is the number of runs per payer, the charged amount, and that is just a proposed charge amount that can be adjusted. And the next column is the approved amount. As you can see, that's very different from the Medicare allows 400 in the billing, and that's up to date as of this year. And then you can see as what would allow each one. The gross allowable is just the number of runs times that approved amount. And then the last column is the projected net revenue by payer. As you can see at the bottom there, the self-pay, it's just what they forecast, what they see in communities that are similar demographics that they are able to get payment from. So Medicare and Medicaid obviously are high on that list, commercial's high, but the self-pay is a little lower. Now, if I can touch on that, one advantage of a municipality having an ambulance service as to a private provider is our ability to put in a hardship clause into our ordinance. Meaning that if there is a patient, an individual that truly is having a hard time, a private provider by law cannot just forgive that debt. They have to take as much process as allowable to get that money from them, whether it means suing them, small claims court, collections department, or whatnot. As the fire department, as a municipality ran, we can forgive that debt. We can have a process to do that, so it would actually help some citizens in some sense. Further down, you see the mileage, oxygen, treat, no transport. Those are, you know, pretty self-explanatory, total revenue. The bottom column, bottom row, is those sums all together. You add those up, you got the grand total charges. The highlighted area is the average recovery per run. That's total runs divided by the grand total projected revenue, which is $326.07 per run. And they are projecting $436,605 as a projected revenue. They worked hard. We are very conservative on our numbers. We're showing 1,300 runs that we can transport. Last year, we did close to 3,000 runs. It's pretty common that 80% of our runs are medical. So anybody, any firefighter can tell you that more than half of medical runs are transported. So you can see how conservative our run, our forecast is. Any questions on that?
I just got one question.
Sure.
We discussed this issue several years ago, and we went pretty in-depth into, I guess something didn't occur to me then that is now, is Blue Cross Blue Shield, they will not reimburse for ambulance, is that correct?
I don't know why that column was left blank.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's just jumped into the commercial now, and maybe she just left that space okay. Blank. I can find out for you, I'll email it to you.
Yeah, because that just kind of
puzzled. I imagine that's because of the commercial side of it.
A lot of people,
yeah,
if they have the insurance, I thought that it should cover ambulance.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I appreciate that.
Sure. I'll get that to you right away. Okay. Are there any more on the revenue side? Any question on the revenue side?
On operating costs, Justin.
Sure.
I've been kind of under the impression that Medicare and Medicaid will reimburse us 100% for our operating costs for the ambulance.
It's a very complicating formula, as it is with any government
process. I'm really good at putting people on the spot.
Yeah. Yes, they do. In fact, Terre Haute Fire, which we run basically, we're very similar demographically, and we're about a third of their runs and a third of their population. They're projected this year to receive over $1 million from Medicaid reimbursements. To make it very, very simplistic, if we would charge $100 for a run, Medicare will only pay $80 of that run. I'm sorry, if we charge $250 for a run, Medicare will only pay $100. Of that $100, they're only required to pay 80%. So they'll pay that $80 of the $100 approved amount. Medicaid will come in behind them and pay that $20, and they'll do that for everyone. And that is very simplistic. There's a multiplier you put in that changes every year. But, and I have some specific examples, one from Noblesville that they submitted last year, and they're getting in the high six figures in return from it. But I didn't want to include that because it's not an immediate return. You do it fiscally. And when you do that, it may take anywhere from 6 to 18 months to get that money back. So it's a government grant deal, so. But yes, it's helping out fire departments. Charro uses it every year, and they're getting, this year they're projected to get over $1 million back. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next, go ahead.
We got the two rescue trucks we have now. I remember coming down and looking at them, and that keeps haunting me to this day, and I said it then, and I said, I wish they had the capability to carry people, because I kind of figured we would be revisiting this issue down the road. If those two vehicles somehow hold people, it would, they could serve a dual purpose more or less.
For the rescue truck, it'd be kind of like taking a tank to a knife fight. For that size of a truck to transport, I don't think you would want that, but we still need a large fire truck. As firefighters, we prepare for the worst, hope for the best. So in those trucks, we have equipment for, you name any disaster, we have it on there. And that's why we have to utilize such a large truck, and they have come in handy, and we do carry a lot of equipment on those trucks. So to waste half of that truck for a transport capability, especially using that much fuel, would be maybe a disservice to the community and tax money, whereas an ambulance would be more efficient and would able to it would be just more efficient, more cost effective to run an ambulance rather than the rescue truck.
The rescue truck would go with the ambulance, right?
It could be visited if and when you guys do decide to go through this. The policy being set, it could include something where the ambulance could go to the run. If they need assistance, they could call the trucks, or if it's an outside area, the trucks could go and wait for the ambulance. The possibilities are just, there's a multiple ways of running it. But that would be a policy discussion later, maybe in a committee form, but yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And then the next pamphlet I passed out was an expense of the ambulances. And that is very liberal in the cost. For instance, the ambulance cost itself, I believe we put it 20,000 piece, 30,000 piece. We were just looking online last night on an online website that sells government ambulances. We can get a very nice ambulance capable of doing everything we want for $10,000. So we wanted to be high on the cost as well. So that's,
startup costs and training, where would that be?
Startup costs is basically that second paper I gave you. That's what's going to cost to get the ambulance and get the equipment. But I do want to remind you, we do already have an EMS category in our budget. So we are already buying a lot of this equipment. It would just get allocated to the ambulance side. Training, we have paramedics already in the fire department. We just don't offer that level of service. They have the training, they do it on their time off, but it'd be great to utilize them at the department as well.
How many do you have that are
certified? Six current paramedics.
Thank you. Do you see that as something that can, like everybody being required?
Once again, that's a policy decision that can be visited. I mean, it would be nice to have a standard of hiring. That way, when they start coming in, we can have more people having that capability, that level of service.
Justin, yes. When you talk about run, are you saying in the city limits?
Yes.
Do you sometimes go out in the city limits?
We do. As an emergency response, whether it be a fire or a wreck, we do that commonly. Now, if the ambulance, if we would make an ordinance for the ambulance to run inside the city, that would also incorporate Vincent City 2. which is now township area. So we would be going with the ambulance, going into township to do those transporting, because that is still the city of Vincennes, and this would incorporate that. So that would increase the rent as well.
We can legally do that.
Yeah. And I mean, that could be something we could contract with the county, but right now, the private provider in our county has that contract with the county.
Okay, that's something I want to talk about.
Sure.
It's the private. How would it be like a rotation type thing? How, you were saying that you guys did 3,000 runs.
Mutual assistance.
But as far as this is divided up, it's two ambulances.
Oh, no.
We have two ambulance services in the county. One only does emergency runs. The second one does transport. And their contract is actually only with the county, not with the city. So we would just pass that ordinance, and we would take over that, take over the city emergency runs only. They would, that's just a small profile, a small aspect of their whole business profile. They do emergency runs in the county, also do transports, taxi runs, stuff like that.
You prefer to Terre Haute is utilizing an ambulance service to subsidize the fire department? Are there communities that we can?
Oh, absolutely. Riley just came online this year because Terre Haute encouraged them to. But like I said, Fishers, Brownsburg, Noblesville, Hobart, Hammond, they all rent Carmel. They all run ambulance for municipalities. And that's just a list of you. I know there's a lot more as well.
Is that most recently they started doing that?
No, Terre Haute's been doing it for quite a while. Yeah.
Is there any that have done, started in the last several years?
Riley just started January 1st.
Right.
But as far as the latest, is that here? I know there have been a few coming online past 2 years, but I don't know their names off the top of my head. I can include that in the email as well.
So if this does go through, what will be the timeframe where we would see a positive impact budgetarily? Because this is obviously the big discussion that's brought a lot of other discussions about.
Sure. In a forecast, that's just hard. I mean, this is a business, and any business venture, there is the risk. I don't know how long it would be, you know, where we would get the initial money to start it up, you know, general fund, whatever, or rainy day fund. It's just hard. It could be 6 months, it could be a year, it could be a year and a half. But the forecast is conservative, and I stand by it. I think that it will come. It will come in a short term amount, but I just don't know how long.
Does this require any additional structures, or?
No, we wouldn't have to. We have a couple bays that we're utilizing for other things, but through rearranging, it's a possibility we can just use an ambulance or use a bay for an ambulance.
Yeah, I had a question on historically, we've had private ambulances when they weren't owned by a single entity competing and racing to the scene. So is there going to be a rotation on this? Some kind of a, you call in for an ambulance and they say, we can't recommend anybody. Who do you want? Or is it going to be rotated? We get that with tow companies, so.
Sure.
And they're a lot less at stake usually than an ambulance run.
I think the preference would be for us to take the emergency runs in Vincennes.
The tow companies are not ran by the municipality. This would be the municipality, so they would be responding.
And if it was an emergency, I mean, like, which the dispatch would obviously
send us first. I mean, and it's an agreement. I mean, like I said in the statement, in my speech, we would be working in conjunction with the ambulance service. We'd be adding to the resources of the county. So an agreement could be still made. You know, if we do lock up two of our ambulances at a sort of scenes, different scenes or same scene or whatever, then they could come in and assist us with that. So.
Yeah, I definitely like the idea of, you know, people coming on the run, you know, different.
And we already make all the medical
higher
runs.
Higher standards.
Right.
I think than maybe what we have right now.
We make all the runs already. And Most of the time, we beat the ambulance service there, because we're just, like I said, we're geared to be there quickly. And we are doing these processes already. We are starting IVs, we are putting them on oxygen. You know, we are doing a lot of these advanced procedures, and then helping them load, and then they just transport to the hospital.
You guys are coming in, you're spending the money, you're doing all the work, they're loading them up, they're taking them to the hospital, and they're sending them to the...
Yes, sir.
I've seen it once, I've seen it 100 times.
Exactly.
And you're not getting reimbursed?
No.
You get equipment reimbursed back. Disposable equipment that the local ambulance service does give us that back.
We use oxygen masks, they will supply us with an oxygen mask. And various other equipment. If there are no more questions, I'll go ahead and in conclusion. So in conclusion, the fire department operations are geared to rapid response, whether it is for EMS or fire suppression. Cross-trained, dual-role firefighters are trained to aggressively attack their work, whether it involves fire, hazmat, rescue, or medical emergencies. As previously stated, if we maintain an ambulance service in the fire department, then we have the ability to raise the standard of care and practices for the citizens of Vincennes at no additional cost to them. Furthermore, the Office of Medicaid provides supplemental payment adjustment to government-owned ambulance providers the actual incurred cost for providing the ambulance service to the eligible Medicaid beneficiary. This program has added even further revenue for the government-based ambulance services throughout the state, allowing the Vincennes Fire Department to run ambulances in support of the private providers, with just further the emergency resources available to the county and its citizens, all while not increasing taxes and to provide the said service. The Vincennes firefighters can offer this service cost-effectively while providing professionally efficient emergency response and transport ambulance service. You guys don't have any more questions?
Thank you, Justin.
Thank you.
Also, in that packet is a proposed ordinance that we basically copied and pasted and used from other cities that do run the ambulance, so.
We appreciate you bringing this information to us. We said earlier in the year, we'd be receptive to receiving this kind of recommendations, and it'd be my suggestion that be referred to the Budget Committee for further review. Other council members obviously are welcome to pursue questions. I'm sure you'd sure that.
And when would be the next budget? So it would be at the Budget Committee? Okay, and when would that next budget committee be?
Go ahead and compile, I'm the chairman of that committee, just go ahead and compile the information you said you'd get us, and then get that to me, and then we'll set a meeting.
Okay. All right. I'll work on that right away.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Larry Schatz. I'm Lieutenant Special Operations Vincennes Fire Department. To hit a couple things that brought up, you brought up about the paramedics, whether they would add more training to it or do future training. What Terre Haute does is any new hires that come in, they have a 3-year deal where they must attain their paramedic. So that's one thing we do with our new hirees, is start bringing in paramedics, or either hire them with a paramedic or require them in a certain time frame to get that paramedic. This way, eventually down the road, when we have guys retire, you will have that filled with paramedics. So that's one thing we can do with that.
We went through this about the advanced EMT, and we allocated some money for that.
There are three that's finished it. There's currently, I think,
three that are certified.
They're finishing their schooling, but what they have to do once they complete their schooling is they got to test into the system. Once they test into the system, the problem we're running into is our protocols ain't up to date. Even as a paramedic, I'm still operating on old protocols, because that's what we've got for our area. We've got to get our advanced protocols to meet the training that you guys allowed us to have, or allowed the others to have. I've been a paramedic for 18 years. I was the first paramedic that we got on here. I'm glad to see more paramedics coming on. But we are advancing our skills up. It's just we're at a standstill when it comes to the protocols. One thing I do have to say, and I want you to, I can't name names, but I can tell you this as a paramedic. It was always drilled into me, make sure you don't use your skills. Don't ever use your skills. Since we don't function as a paramedic service, I'm unable to use my paramedic skills. We had one incident to where a kid was hit by a train. The paramedic that showed up, there was a brand new paramedic. I won't mention names or anything like that. And this paramedic was unable to function properly to save that kid. I had the skills and training. I was trying to lead him by the hand to show him what to do, that he couldn't handle the situation. That was one of the most frustrating parts that I've ever experienced. And I've seen it many, many times where I cannot use my skills as a paramedic. If you guys get the ambulances and stuff and give us a paramedic, that gives this community a chance. There's a lot of times to where we don't always, Knox County EMS, I work for them. I do PRN for them. I will tell you, not all the time will you have a paramedic ambulance show up calls here in Knox County. Because they have so many paramedics on duty, and then they have basic EMTs. If you call 911, you may only be getting a basic EMT ambulance, and we've had to ride in with them. At least if we go to the paramedic level skill, you will always have a firefighter on a paramedic ambulance in this city. And admirals also, along with the other fleets that we have between DNS and Knox County MS, that just adds more ambulances here. If we ever have a mass casualty situation, that's more ambulances and stuff that required. Because if the Good Samaritan Hospital, something would ever happen in it, you gotta have enough ambulances to get them out of it, get the patients out of other hospitals. That would just give you another resource.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Haven't seen it.
I just read it.
You might want to give me a copy of the ordinance. I've never seen it.
You're not gonna copy it?
Oh, no. I didn't get a copy. I can't make any errors if you don't give it to me.
Do leave it.
Okay, we want to claims.
I move that we approve claims totaling $373,968.28.
Motion by President Chapman, second by Councilman Stevens, to pay the claims in the amount of $373,968.28.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Chapman?
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
Yes.
Ms. Morris?
Yes.
Ms. Rose?
Yes.
Mr. Salters?
Yes.
Mr. Sebring?
Yes.
The claims are paid by vote of 7-0. We have nothing in this language.
We're out of here.